I know that I said that this podcast was not going to be just about BTS, but it turns out that my life is just going to be about Min Yoongi. Hello and welcome to Grown Ass Fandom. This is Shanae. So this episode is really interesting because I had a script that I was working on for this episode. So this episode was going to be about like personality branding and like how as personalities you kind of brand yourself and what that makes you responsible for as far as your behavior. Because I was going to be talking about John Mulaney and Olivia Munn and all that stuff. And I was working on it and it's taken me a while to get it together. So I'm wondering if we do like scripts every other week and then maybe in between weeks, I just shoot the shit and talk about whatever is going on. And it's just casual and not super long. Maybe we'll see how this one goes. A lot has happened. And so I want to talk about it. And so I'm just hitting record and I have a list of things I want to talk about like the old days. And by old days, I mean a couple episodes ago. And we're just going to go. I'm just going to talk. So the first thing I would like to discuss is, listen, I know that I said that this podcast was not going to be just about BTS, but it turns out that my life is just going to be about Min Yoongi. You guys, have you seen? I'm just going to assume that maybe some of you haven't. Sorry, that's my ice machine. I need to start turning off my ice machine when I record. In fact, let me turn it off right now. One second. So Suga was, okay, so it wasn't just Suga, but it's just like Suga is like the one person who's like on my mind. So yesterday, I guess 2 days ago from when you were listening to this, BTS got kind of officially got sworn in as presidential envoys. And they got their diplomatic passports and all that stuff. I don't want to talk about what the implications of that are because I just don't feel like it. Like, I truly, this podcast is just going to be all light and, well, we still have to talk about Namjoon, but it's going to be light and bright. And so they put them all in these really classic, amazing suits. Nothing much to see, like very, very kind of like classic cuts. But for whatever reason, the stylist for Suga was just like, you know what? Let me fuck around and destroy lives, families, and homes and put Suga in this three-piece slim fit suit. The thing about Suga is that he is always put on clothes that are like, I don't think I ever see him in clothes that are not like three sizes too big for him. Like, he's never really warm fitted stuff, and the fit on the suit, let's look at it together. I want you guys all to pull up the photo and I want us to look at it together. Okay, where should we start? Should we start at his head and then work our way down? Let's do that. The hair is magnificent. Like most people, I am a undercut enthusiast. I find myself to be a devotion to the word, the undercut word. And the undercut here is just, the hair is perfect. It looks shiny. It looks healthy. While the other members are really fighting against the elements to rehab their heads against the incessant violence of hair dye, it seems that, like Suga said in the past, he has a nice strong scalp, one that is able to withstand anything that comes up against him, and therefore his hair looks soft, it looks wonderful, it looks pullable. And then also, let's just talk about the mask. The mask is a serve. The mask is absolutely a serve. Like, you would think that the mask wouldn't be a serve, but it's serving, it's giving here. The shoulders, the suit, the slim, the way that it comes in at the waist. That button of his literally holding on for dear life. So it's interesting because obviously the tailoring on the suit is fantastic. It could have been a little bigger, a little bigger. People are saying he couldn't move. And you know what? Sometimes we have to suffer for fashion. Sometimes we have to suffer in order to get these results. But yeah, the pants, the fit is perfect. The shoes are perfect. He just looks, his hands look so big and amazing. He just looks fine as hell. I don't know if I'm ever going to recover. And it's just so funny because he had also just recently posted a selfie from his, from that, the Hello Soul video. I don't know if you saw the Hello Soul video. That was like a promotional video for Soul. What's interesting about that video is that it came around the time that, okay, we weren't supposed to be talking about the E word. We're going to mention the E word. It came around the time where they were going to be deciding whether or not BTS was going to get full immunity from the enlistment. This sort of designation and everything else, again, makes me feel like they probably will. If they don't, that's interesting. I don't want to make any comments on them and stuff like that. But so that video came out around the same time. The styling in that video is absolutely amazing. It's probably some of the best styling that they've had all year. The clothes look amazing. And he posted a selfie from that shoot. And I just was also had hard eyes, just completely, like, it was from a different angle. Again, the hair looks amazing. His face looks amazing. He just looks really well fucked, well taken care of. Just like literally has just like been swimming and swimming in bats of spaghetti. I don't know what his problem is. It's interesting because I had been under the assumption that for most of this year, he had been in a relationship, allegedly with a specific star is what I've heard. I don't think that's it. I think that it's something else. I won't say what, but... And then it seemed like he was off a little bit, but then it seems like he's back being kind of fucked. And so I wonder if it's like an on again, off again situation. Anyway, he looks amazing. And that photo he took, so I was joking on my Instagram. If you don't follow my Instagram, follow it. That he looked like my art director boyfriend. He just looked like an art director boyfriend. Just like so New York, hot, amazing. Min Yoongi is the truth. And I just feel like maybe I don't talk about it enough. And I'm just going to start. He's really worked his way into my heart. So I just had to talk about that. Like literally he broke my show. I have a whole plan for the show. And just his mere presence broke it. And I just don't have a script. I just am just talking about how fantastic he is and how amazing he is. And I hope that he's getting the big three. I hope he's well taken care of. He looks wonderful. It's just incredible. And I guess just like talking through kind of, I guess we can talk about it. I guess I'm trying to like keep it light. It's really amazing what BTS has been able to do. I think I come on here and I just often feel, one of the things that I understand to be true is that one of my blind spots around BTS is the fact that I have come late. And so the way that I feel like sometimes I give them a hard time and I really see them as just sort of like this big industrial force. When this is something that's very special, their influence, they're a once in a lifetime, once in a kind of like a amazing thing. And I know that a lot of ARMY feel really proud to follow them and really take that on because a lot of them have worked really hard to get them where they are. I feel about some of the stuff and like the complicated feelings they have about all of this, but I do really care about BTS and sort of like what they've done for me, what they've brought to my life, the people they've brought to my life, you guys, everything. And so I am also proud of them as well. And I'm especially proud of these fits. They all look fucking fine, like every single one of them. The only problem I have is that like there's some like bad suiting. It's sort of like bad fit for Jin, but Jin is so hot, it doesn't matter. But I just wonder, like, why is he so hard to fit? Is it because his shoulder ratio is off or what? And sometimes I wonder if like there's something about him wearing loose or tight fitting clothes. But then what was it? Dynamite or not Dynamite, Butter, he had stuff that fit, so maybe not. Oh my god, how dare I forget to talk about Hobi. Now, as I get on this fucking podcast every goddamn week, and I devote at least 3 minutes a week to professing my love and undying support to Hobie. And the pink hair, his hair this year has been his best hair. I've looked back at all his hair. It's amazing. I love the blonde, but this pink, again, the undercut, the styling, the way that they style their hair like this, it's so wild how much forehead does for a person. Like seeing a forehead, how it can really transform, how we can open things up, make things anew. So I will yet again just say that Hobie is the hottest person. He's just like the finest, most talented, most wonderful person on the planet. And again, I don't know what else I can say. What else can I say about that? They all look great. Namjoon, the black hair continues to be, Namjoon looks amazing during this time, despite his like, obviously, okay, we'll talk a little bit. First of all, happy birthday. His birthday was last week, another Virgo. Literally all my friends are Virgos. Everybody that I've been involved with has been a Virgo. My sister, like even this weekend, it was like my sister, Namjoon, my best friend, two of my TikTok friends, like everybody's birthday was this past weekend. Like the Virgo, September Virgos just know no equal. And so to celebrate Namjoon's birthday, I did a video about him on TikTok, and it was like about the different types of boyfriends. And I guess in honor of his birthday, we can talk about his like appeal as an idol and sort of like why is he so popular? Like, why do people really love him the way they do? Why does he have the audience that he does? And so I'm just gonna like talk about that and kind of avoid some of the other stuff. So I think the thing about Namjoon that makes him so popular is a little bit of what you saw in some of the clips from his live this week. I didn't watch his full live. Maybe I'll go back and watch it. I heard he made more comments about not eating dinner, so I'm just like not excited to watch it. But I did have seen some of the cuter clips. And the thing about Namjoon that I find so fascinating, especially as he ages and especially as he gets more successful, is that he is just, what we're seeing now seems to be him. Like, I don't think he has, like, he really tries his best to kind of like hold things back and like really regulate his personality to be more palatably idol, but he really cannot do it. Like, he has this thing that I really relate to as somebody who now kind of has like a bit of a platform, which is that like, when you have a platform, you're really expected to have a great deal of boundaries around what you tell people, and you have to be really careful about what you say. But I think that both me and Namjoon have kind of like a very much a confessional communication style, which is why he's probably like a really good creator, and why I hope that I'm a good writer and creator, is that I just bleed publicly. Like, I've never been good at suffering in private. And I think that he's the same way. I think that there's a lot of mechanisms in place to prevent him from bleeding publicly as much as he probably would like to. But that's why I think that whenever he communicates with us, it feels so loaded, it feels so intense, because he has so much emotions that he wants to express. And because he kind of has, again, like, if he's anything like me, and I feel like we're very similar, you have these feelings and they just need to get out. Like, they have to have an outlet, whether it's a song, for me, writing, this podcast, communicating with y'all, it just needs to get out. I just find that very endearing about him. I just think that he just is like him, and like the version of him that is, because people always ask me like, what's the real BTS? And I feel like with Namjoon, that is who he is. Like, I don't think he's very good at hiding it. He's a bit sarcastic. He's a little bit rougher. He might be a little like harsher in real life, but this is like a softer version of who I think he really is, which I think is why he attracts so many people and why adults really like him specifically, is that there is like this layer of authenticity that is kind of rare within K-pop, and it's even kind of rare within BTS, I would say. I would say even Yoongi, who is known to be somebody who is kind of like regarded highly for his kind of like very much confessional style and the way that he kind of shares his ups and downs, he also tends to hold back the level in which he shares, versus Namjoon, who you'll go on a live and you really are taken through his mental process and like how he's thinking, how he's feeling, what he's experiencing. For good or for worse, right? Like, obviously, I've had some issues with him sharing some aspects of that because I think it's irresponsible, but I just don't think that he can help it. That's like a part of who he is. And I think that for an idol, and I think that that's what adds to his sort of like inherent boyfriend appeal. In my video, I talked about just like how he's just very much a boyfriend and he always looks like he's somebody's boyfriend. And yes, it's because he doesn't have like the typical K-pop carry. I think that Namjoon is, again, one of the finest men on the planet. I can say that over and over again, but he doesn't look like an idol as much. And that's what works for him. Like I said, he looks incredibly dateable. He seems very accessible even when he's done up to the nines, and even when he's like one of the most powerful people on the planet right now as far as his position is concerned and the responsibility and stuff like that. And as opposed to like, there's one version of this where you are like that and you try to carry it more delicately. Like, he always has always been clear about how much it's weighing on him. And again, it just makes him very attractive and somebody that you want to follow and admire, because having somebody be that emotionally honest and open is nice to see, and it makes you want to follow them. And I know one of the things I always think about is like why he is such like black woman bait, because I am how I feel about biases. Biases are anti-black. But I do think that I often get grouped in with the other many black women on TikTok who are Namjoon biases, which I think is really, really interesting. And I think the reason why why black women especially are attracted to Namjoon, I think is because of the way he's built. I think overall black women or black people in general are bigger built. I think one of the things that I always say that is kind of like a weird thing about K-pop is like, again, the obsession with thinness, with smallness is something that we don't necessarily have in the black community especially. So I think that seeing him be a bigger person, a taller person, kind of a father figure, really kind of models a lot of things that kind of show up in black culture specifically. He's got like that kind of like, I mean, I'm not somebody who, and I've talked about this before, I do not race code BTS, because I think there's just something, like I said, I think I've talked about this before. If you've listened to my podcast, you know that I understand why people race code BTS, and it's like wanting to connect with them, wanting to feel like something you like is much closer to you. And I think that he gets race coded as black, or like, because we can know he's a rapper, he's got that carry, he's got the swag about him that I think is really attractive to black women. But it's just really, really wild how he has like the black women, like black women over 25 community in clutches, like literally has, I say them, we, I mean, because you follow me on Instagram again, you know that like my experience of Namjoon has evolved and changed and stuff like that, but he really has that community specifically in its clutches. And I just think it's really fascinating how different communities gravitate towards different members. And I've talked about this before, but Namjoon's appeal to black women especially, and I think there's like also like this potent sexuality and confidence that you do see a lot in black men specifically, kind of like I guess you would call it like sauce. I say that's like when I say stuff like doesn't have enough seasoned salt for me, or doesn't. And it's so funny because I was like thinking about like seasoned salt and like the spice that I require to enjoy content when I was like trying to watch John Mulaney's comedy. I was like, man, not enough hot sauce for me. And we are going to talk about John Mulaney. I guess I'll be the last one to talk about it, but I really want to like get into him and the situation and personality and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that Namjoon is such an amazing idol. And he's like, and he can be, when he's careful, a really good example and a model for transparency and vulnerability. It's just hard because Namjoon is a product of his culture. He's a product of Korean culture just like anybody else. And so he has to deal with those things. But I do wish that he has a wonderful birthday. Let's do his tag and kind of talk through some of the questions I had. Well, I guess we can use the same questions we used for JK, right? And just answer those. Okay, so favorite stage look. Obviously, it's Grammys, not Grammy Namjoon. Grammy Namjoon is amazing. I also really liked the 2018 Lot, whatever the fuck, concert stage look. Also for, is it the Japanese concert? It might have been for All the Love Yourself, where he wore like the tie-dye-ish brownish, greenish shirt. You know what I'm talking about? When he did the thigh grab that you see all over TikTok, that fit the weight, that whole leg. When they're in Japan, I don't know what happens to them when they're in Japan, but they be getting the good or something, because the way that they look. So I really like that. But it definitely, like, Grammy Namjoon. So my favorite moment of a video, there's just so much to choose from. Like, I really like Idol Namjoon, just because he, like, the way he kind of goes into that song and he really, like, owns that song. But then there's also Black Swan Namjoon with the earrings and the black, gives me a lot. Also Persona Namjoon, which gives you very much... like, you, again, we're getting establishing how every Namjoon is like a boyfriend. And that one's giving you like grad student crush Namjoon. I also like Blood, Sweat, and Tears Namjoon and Fake Love Namjoon. But I think I'm going to go with, Black Swan Namjoon? I don't know. He's just so good in all those. My favorite hair is, I am a huge believer in blonde Namjoon supremacy. I think that's his best hair. I also like the black, but I think that, and I like the gray, but to me, the blonde is the best, I would say. Right? Or the blonde or dynamite blue. Ooh, dynamite blue, because also dynamite blue is when he had that one iconic, was it Ask Anything interview, where he was wearing the black shirt and he had the bright turquoise hair. Oh boy, it's like a really hard choice, but I really like that one as well. Favorite solo song, I really like Love. I really love Moonchild, but definitely Love. I also like Persona. I'm not really making many choices here. I'm a big Namjoon fan, so let's see what else. What is my big wish for Namjoon? Oh, what is my favorite kind of look out in the world? Like I said, I really like the black shirt, blue hair. One of my other favorite looks is when he was having the blonde hair and he was like walking around that white t-shirt and the khakis. Do you remember that fit? He looked amazing. Also, when he arrived in New York, he was wearing the black and the turtleneck, was really, really amazing as well. So there's that. My wish for Namjoon is that he just learns to like really follow in his own footsteps and the message that he's created for his audience, and to love himself and to love himself unconditionally so that he can allow himself to be loved. And that'd be my biggest wish for him, is that he knows how loved he is, knows how appreciated he is by the community. I hope that he can have the foresight and the listening skills to listen to some of the things that he might do that might be hurtful to the community. I really wish for him that he could, like I said, really lead in that way of kind of changing the way that BTS communicates with their audience, so that they can avoid some of these ways that they are unintentionally harming their audience, especially in the name of loving yourself. So I really do wish that he can have some clarity and some open mind and heart about those things. But I just wish him the best. I wish him happiness. I hope that he finds some sense of peace within this situation that is obviously very traumatizing for everyone, but it seems like it's been very traumatizing for him specifically. And so I hope he can find peace, and that he can celebrate his wins and really honor them and feel them in his heart, so that they can propel him. And that I hope that he finds what he's after, and that he gets the contentment and happiness that he wants. So that's Namjoon. Okay, so moving on. Like I said, I don't have like a an actual like super defined list of things that I want to talk about. But the other thing that happened this week is that JB, he read a bunch of thirst tweets. And so I don't know if much about the thirst tweet series where like a bunch of people read thirst tweets about themselves. And I've read a bunch. Have you guys read them? Like, you should watch them. They're really interesting. I saw one for Jay Park. And I saw I've seen ones for Henry Cavill, a bunch of other people. And it's really interesting to see how they, how men react to thirst tweets about them, and sort of like what, because it really kind of says a lot about kind of how they feel about themselves and how they feel about what's happening to them and stuff like that. And it's always really, and JB's was so endearing because he seemed so kind of like scandalized by what was being said about him. And there was like some really wild, I'm not even going to spoil them. You should sort of like, you should go watch the video and see some of the things that folks said about him in his, in the thirst tweets. I remember watching it and having this thought that a member of my community, a sibling partner, Courtney, reached out to me after I kind of sent out this thought, which was basically that, like, one of the things I find really interesting about really hot men and sort of men in general is that they don't actually like to be the on the receiving end of female desire. A lot of them don't. Like, they like to objectify women. They like wanting women and sort of like having their desires fed. But as far as like being the object of desire for women, especially like the insatiability of women, kind of freaks them out. And I remember thinking this, like, and I remember first having this thought a long time ago because I saw this TikTok months ago where this comedian was talking about how when women are really attracted to a man and they really like a man, they are insatiable. Because, not to get too graphic, but the sort of men have a very limited capacity for sex. Despite like all the sexualization and all this like objectification and whatever, a man can only have sex so many times within a day or even like an afternoon, versus women who can just like go and go and go and go. And I just thought that was interesting in the face of, and then how like that reflects on men and how they see themselves. I mean, you hear all sorts of stories about men who, especially like famous men who can't really perform that well and like really struggle in a lot of different ways. And it's sort of like wrapped around this, again, this thought that I had of like, oh, like if you're a really, really hot man who is desired, that desire kind of makes you feel uncomfortable. And I like, I couldn't really kind of put the exact feelings around it and sort of like put exact words around this until Courtney sent me this TikTok by this guy who really talked about how he was talking about Tom Hiddleston, which, by the way, like, again, talking about season salt is not for me, but he was talking about how people find Tom Hiddleston. Is it Tom Hiddleston? Right? Loki? Let me make sure. Let's look that up, shall we? It's Tom Hiddleston. Like, I don't want to get it confused. Are we talking about a Tom? Because I know there's Tom. No, is Tom Hiddleston the young one? Who's Tom Hiddleston? No, Tom Hiddleston is... Oh, no, I'm thinking about Tom Holland. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Tom Hiddleston is who I'm talking about. There's too many Toms. So this TikTok, I'll put it in the comments below, was talking about how like women find Tom Hiddleston to be way more attractive than Thor, and talking about how women really find men who are the villains and the monsters and stuff to be more attractive than the men who are meant to be the heroes of the story. Because his theory, what he posited, was the fact that men often, like, men write men through the male gaze, which is something I've talked about a bunch of times, right? Like, that's something that, like, that's literally a huge part of my podcast, is talking about how men write characters and create characters that would appeal to what they feel women would like and what they feel makes them most attractive to women, because that's what they feel like makes men most attractive to women. And it doesn't really have anything to do with the female gaze, actually, which is, again, why, like, people are always like, he's a man written by a woman, because women understand what women find sexy and men don't. And so because Thor is meant to be kind of like an idealized version of like what a man can be in like the highest form. And Tom Hiddleston is not supposed to be. That's not what he's supposed to kind of represent. So Thor is rendered to be kind of like asexual. And Tom Hiddleston is sort of like fucked, and like this whole attitude around him being sexy and stuff like that has to do with the fact that he's not having to have the expectation of being the idealized version. He gets to be like his own person who's sort of like not really having to kind of represent that for men. Like that's not like he's not representing a wish fulfillment the way that Thor is. And I think this also reminded me of, my friend also said that like, or this also reminded me of something that my friend mentioned when I told her about this, but also I remember too, is I remember when we went to go see Magic Mike thinking that like I was expecting to like really have a strong reaction to it and not, even at the time I loved Channing Tatum, but I love Channing Tatum and She's the Man, but I didn't love Channing Tatum in Magic Mike because I feel like while yes, it can be kind of hot, I guess, what's really sexy is not that. And you can also see this when it's like the evolution of the Chippendale shows, which originally, I think, well, oh God, that's a whole, that's a much bigger topic. I actually listened to a podcast about the Chippendales, but the Chippendale show has evolved to be even more female gaze friendly. And a lot of the shows that were the most popular were female gaze friendly, but yeah, I just thought it was interesting to kind of going back to JB, kind of how uncomfortable he was with kind of like being under the harsh gaze of female desire, and how it's really like a thing that we just don't talk about is because like men want to kind of like desire and want women, but they don't actually want to be the products of female desire because it makes them uncomfortable and it makes them feel, and I don't know, like it makes them feel objectified. It makes them, it kind of brings, it calls into question their sexual, their inability to keep up with women sexually is my theory. And it's not just a theory. My friend was telling me about some of the studies around kind of like the sex drives of women versus the sex drives of men and how there's like a really big difference despite sort of like what mainstream culture is saying. And I think that a lot of times when men are the products of desire, what they feel is like this intense sense of like it's different if you're talking about men who have specific addictions, narcissism, who are extremely insecure, stuff like that. Like men like that love female attention because they're trying to prove something. Something else that I think we've talked about here before is how like men, straight men are like really constantly, straight men who feel like that they are not what society deems socially acceptable. Like they don't have like the markers of success, whether they're not conventionally attractive and successful or their partners aren't. So the people who don't feel that way, like again, like you have like, I always talk about how like the people who treat women the worst are men who hate themselves and men who feel like really truly in their heart feel like they're unattractive and stuff like that. They do a lot of damage because they're constantly trying to feed their egos with their partners. But men who aren't necessarily like that, who have like, for example, bodybuilders, stuff like that, like men who feel like they have, who like don't have like a lot of like damage from the past, they tend to be the types who are kind of like less likely to feel turned on by being desired by so many women. Because again, it becomes an overwhelming situation. It becomes kind of like, again, like it calls attention to the ways in which you cannot meet the sexual expectations of women. Because like I said, women are insatiable. In fact, that our sexual desire, and again, going back to the original point I made about how like the joke that one guy made about like how if a woman really likes you and is attracted to you, you cannot keep up with her. And I think that that's true. And so like in that moment, JB was like feeling like probably a little overwhelmed by that intensity, feeling like he could never live up to it, that the pressure of being somebody who is a product of so much sexual desire is kind of debilitating in a way, which is why I think a lot of times one of the big rumors or understanding around having sex with people who are celebrities is that it's not good, because it's just like a lot of like expectations without a lot of communications. You're within a relationship that has a lot of intimacy and people are putting a lot of fantasy on you, And you're not, and it's just like something that you're on the receiving end of, like you're not really able to respond to and stuff like that. And again, it's really odd because this is essentially what men do to women as far as objectification. But on the other end, it's different. I don't know. So maybe that makes sense. What do you guys think about it? You guys should like watch that TikTok and let me know what you think of it when you watch it. If do you agree with him? Like I said, I think his argument is a little twisty and turny because he's talking about a couple different things. But what I like really latched onto is this idea of men projecting themselves onto other men and kind of deciding what they think is hot. Another example that he put in made that is really good was just like how James Bond fucks, but is he fucked? Do you know what I mean? Like there's this whole thing around him where he's like this big man who can get all these women, but you don't see a lot around the desire, the insatiable, like I don't know. It's really interesting. I would say that the James Bond argument doesn't completely hold up because there is this idea that like every woman who encounters him is like desires him so much it's like intense for them, but we don't really get much from that perspective, and there's nothing like that's illustrating his desire as it respects to like the women themselves. They just are like, he's hot, damn me. And then it's like, so seeing like JB react that way, because I would say that he's probably the biggest idol we've seen read thirst tweets in that way, makes me wonder about kind of like the context in which other idols, like again, JK comes up every week, right? But thinking about somebody like JK, who, I mean, he seems like he enjoys it, but I do wonder how it feels. But then again, I think the interesting thing about idols is, again, when you talk about like who, and like going back to the last week's topic about intimacy eaters and how idols are really born to be intimacy eaters because they have a lot of attention on them, but not a lot of intimacy to go with it. Again, like within the concept of like, within the context of you believing that they're just brothers and friends, I think that if you are somebody who invests in the idea that they're shipping and stuff like that, you probably do not ascribe to this line of thinking. But I believe that, or what I think is that, so yeah, so that's what makes me wonder of like, when you're an idol, I guess you go either two ways, right? Where like it really overwhelms you and you're just like seeking some normalcy, or because you are in an industry that has objectified you so much, you seek validation and pleasure and control through these relationships and all that. I mean, Jay Park is a really interesting example because in the comments of the video of JB, he was like, oh, loosen up, da, 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 da. And I was like, Jay Park, that's because you are somebody who gets a lot of validation from all the women that you can pick up. And again, I will never forget when Jay Park on his Thirst Tweets episode was like, I could be a bad guy if I wanted to, but I'm a nice guy. And I was like, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, we know. And so again, and then you look at somebody like the BTS members who are so desired. I just wonder what they think about it privately. Like, how does it really hit with them? Somebody like Tay seems to like really enjoy being desired and making people nervous. But I honestly think that Tay would have been like that even if he wasn't a member of BTS. So there's that. I don't feel like, so I'm going to probably dig deeper into this on my OnlyFans. I'm still forming thoughts around this. I feel like it requires a little bit more research. But, oh, by the way, if you have not yet joined the Patreon so you can go see the video I did last week, and if you did see the video last week, let me know what you thought about it. Should I do videos more? I'm still trying to think. I'm reading this book called Essentialism, and it talks about like how to focus your energy on stuff. And I was just like looking at my my platform and how I am everywhere. And I'm like, ooh, yikes. So I just am always trying to figure out like where I should focus my energy. Because originally before I listened to this book, I was like, yeah, do a YouTube channel because it could grow it, or do TikTok. But it's just like I have to pick one, right? I don't think that I can actually do YouTube and TikTok and Instagram. Like, I have to pick. But also, have you guys listened to or read Essentialism? Let me know. But yeah, my thoughts around this idea. Well, definitely watch the TikTok. Get back to me and let me know what you think. I feel like his thoughts and my thoughts are, I feel like neither one of us are fully landed the boat on like what our thoughts are on this, but this is just like a discussion of just me talking through stuff. What else? I like this. So I feel like, and maybe every other week will be a podcast like this where I'm just sort of like talking for 43 minutes. It's in 41 minutes. My throat's getting scratchy. It's like a conversation where I just kind of talk about stuff. Can I do that? Okay. What else? I'm going to try to go to 50 minutes, 55 minutes. We're at 42 minutes now. I saw the Stray Kids video. Thunderous. Is that what it's called? You know what? So I've always got, oh my gosh. Okay. Do I want to talk about Stray Kids first? Or do I want to talk about Stacey first? I'm talking about Stacey. So when I was in Korea, ASAP was a song that everybody was talking about. It was like all the rave over there. ASAP. I can't really sing it, especially since my throat's kind of scratchy, but I've been talking for 43 minutes straight. ASAP is the song of the year. I don't like soft, bubbly songs. Like, it's just not my type. But there's something about the dance. There's something about the ASAP. Oh, God. RIP your ears. And like when they like do the like little waves, the dance is really addictive and the song is really catchy. And I just feel like it's the song of the year. I just keep singing it over and over again. And I just love that song. It's like it's quickly become one of my favorite songs on my Spotify. So if you haven't listened to ASAP, I'm sure you have. I'm like last as usual. Listen to ASAP. I'm gonna start getting into Stacey. Stacey girls, it's going down. They seem really cute. They seem very young. It's oh, again, it's always so hard because a lot of times the girl groups, the naturally because the idol world is so shitty, they have a lot of like the light behind their eyes isn't quite there. But they seem really cute and sweet, and they seem to be still enjoying it. So I love getting into girl groups because girl groups. Oh my God, guys. Hello, Lisa. Oh my God. How did you guys let me talk for 44 minutes without me talking about Lisa? Okay, let me finish Stacey. Let me talk really quickly about Stray Kids, and then I'm going to talk for the rest of the podcast about Lisa. Okay. So, yes. I like following girl groups because it's just like really healthy. It just feels really healthy because I'm just like not, my vagina is not as invested. It's not invested at all. So I get to just like watch and be like, yeah, go girls, go besties, and like move on with my life other than like literally going through the trials and tribulations that I did over those photos that I talked about earlier this episode. Like it's just like a much happier way of living. So let's all get into Stacey. So like, let me give you a list of the girl groups that we're all getting into collectively. It's a group project, right? Obviously, Stan Blackpink, Everglow, Stacey, ITZY. Who else? Blackpink, Everglow, Stacey, ITZY, and Twice, JYP. Na, 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 na. I feel so sorry for the Twice girls, but they're really great. Their songs are just bops. So yes, Stacey, ASAP. Okay, now Thunderous. So there's like a little discussion in my podcast. I have like a little, I feel like podcast topics is my little space in my Discord. We were talking about the different bands coming up, and we're talking about ATEEZ, and we're talking about Stray Kids. And so we're talking about ATEEZ's comeback. I won't talk too much about ATEEZ here, but I'm going to do an OnlyFans about them, kind of like going into their brand and thinking about how they're going to do and like who's going to be. I don't think there's going to be a next BTS, but who's going to be able to break through? And so in that time, I was watching, so like you watch the ATEEZ videos and then Stray Kids come up. As I am a huge fan of God's Menu, Song of the Year last year. It's such a bop. I only know Bang Chan. And again, I cannot stress how smart he is. One of the things that I was talking about is how his ability to build his audience and create a really emotional connection with his audience with his weekly stuff is creating an audience that's very similar to Army. And I'll kind of maybe go into that in another episode about like kind of like how I feel like a lot of these bands are kind of taking some of the BTS strategies and applying them in small ways and how they're sort of like kind of making really good effects, because Stray Kids apparently is the top band in the fourth generation. So, and they're not good, and I think they're known for not getting a ton of support from JYP. So Bang Chan is doing a lot of that on his own. So Thunderous is a song, and I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I feel like when I first listened to it, I was like, no. But I've listened to it a couple more songs, and I think I like it. It's just like, it just is a song that's like really like makes you kind of uncomfortable in a way. But the choreography is really, really excellent. They have a lot of energy. They all have like a lot of unique looks. So I think I like Thunderous. I'm not sure. Let me know what you guys think of it. I think the fits are great. Again, one of the things that I am constantly reminded of is how as an ARMY, we get the worst fits in K-pop. I said what I said. I said what I said. As it just feels like everybody does this. And speaking of Rosie, she was at the Met Gala, and she wore this like totally like bunk, not great fit. It was just not with the theme. It wasn't interesting at all. And I'm like, you are a K-pop idol. Like, why are you bringing over these kind of like underwhelming fits? Apparently CL went and she did not do that, but I do feel like a lot of times whenever K-pop artists are kind of breaking into the West, they really flatten their style and kind of start dressing a little more boring, and I think that BTS has done that. And so I was like looking at the Thunderous fits, and I was like, I wish I wish we got fits like that, because I feel like when I look back at the older stuff, there's a lot of fits like that. But like, I truly joined BTS during their like most boring fit era. And I know they're trying to make them seem like sophisticated and stuff like that, but they're still K-pop idols. So give them something interesting. So the fits are really cool. I really like it. They have really good rappers in that group, so I'll be looking into Stray Kids more. Okay, let's talk about Lisa, love you, Lisa, love you. So Lisa's big debut, I have a lot of things to say about it. La Lisa, I like the song. At first I was like, I don't like this, or like it just wasn't hitting with me. The song kind of reminds me, my friend was talking about how it reminds her of Next Level, and I agree, where like the song has way too many parts, so you always feel kind of disoriented within the arc of the song. And so I felt that. Money, I cannot get behind. So like the album has two songs, This and Money. And Money is just like, I don't want to talk about it. It's a good beat, but like the content of the song, I don't know why. Like Teddy makes really good songs, so I'm not sure what happened there. But yeah, La Lisa, it's growing on me. It's very catchy. The video itself was incredibly like visually stunning. I feel like Blackpink is excellent at music videos and sort of like making eye-catching videos. I don't necessarily have like a story per se, but are just like visually arresting. And so I thought the same thing was true here. I do think that the song was a little like the video was a little disconnected, and I would have liked to kind of have all the different scenes connect a little more to like a really clear narrative. But that's always like a critique I have of Blackpink videos. Lisa is a star. Like the thing about Lisa is that they're all stars. And I know that especially people think that Jennie is it from Blackpink. I mean, I'm a Jisoo bias, but I don't think that Jisoo is like, her heart wants to be an idol forever. I just want her to become an actor and be in rom-coms and live the rest of her life in peace and happiness. That's what I want for her. But Lisa, I feel like, is the kind of J-Hope of the group as far as like who can like really break in the Western world. And so I hope that they get better at giving her like songs, or like, because the thing about J-Hope is that he has like a really specific eye that makes sense for breaking into the Western world. But like this Lisa debut doesn't have that. But I definitely think that she has the potential to, because she's such a star. She's such a compelling force. She wears clothes so well. She's like the visuals, like the pole dancing, of course, was my favorite part as a former, not like a professional pole dancer, but like a recreational pole dancer. I really, really loved that part. I loved the bikes. I just thought she looked really, really cool. Her styling was really, really excellent. I think the La Lisa, love you, La Lisa, is dance is fun. I do wish I could see her dance some more. She's one of the best female dancers in K-pop, so I really would have liked to see her show her stuff a little more. But overall, it's a great debut, and it's doing really, really great. I think it has already over 150 million views, I think, and it's only been a couple days. It's one of the top debuts for a solo female artist. Like, she fucking did that. So I'm very proud of Lisa. I think overall it's great. I just think that, like I said, there's like little changes. Like, I don't fuck with YG. Like, they they make me really upset. Like, I don't like a lot of what they do, but I hope. But again, it's a really good video. I need to buy the CD to support her. I need to buy Rosé's to support them too. Like, I need to support them. But yeah, I think that she looks great. I'm excited to see her on stage. I just think Lisa is wonderful. I just wish that the songs were a little better, because she can handle it. She's just like a star. And I think that because she's such a star, everything that she does feels like it needs to rise to meet her incredibleness. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. Okay. I think that's it. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Join the Patreon if you haven't. Happy birthday, Namjoon. Again, what else? I saw the Met Gala stuff. Like I said, Rosé's fit was not good, but like, nobody's fit were really that good. Like, I don't even feel like talking about it, because I was like, oh, this will be like a good opportunity for me to expand and talk about something else. But I was like looking at the fits, and I was like, I don't really care. Nobody seemed to understand the assignment. All right, I think that's it. Let's see how this sounds. I'm about to go listen to it now. But you guys have a great week. Mm-hmm. And next week I will be back with a scripted podcast. Okay, bye. Y'all need to get into my drip like y'all need water. I mean, it's only hit the top of Balenciaga. I mean, y'all bitches, but they y'all like Ariana. If they ever tryna knock up, put my foot up in y'all caca. Call your mama and your papa like I'm finna take a dada. Turn that bitch into a soccer ball and rock a rock a rock a. Get into it like a suit and fuck a stock a. Bless y'all, bitch. Thank you, Nikki.